It just continued to get worse. And we began to sound like Job. Here I am trying to do my best. Here I am pursuing relationship with you, God. And I just continue to get beat up and robbed. And it just seems to get worse. And some of you have begun to question, does God even, is He for me? Does God even know, does He care about me? And then it began to move into, well, you're here, and I'll stand, and I'll worship you, Lord, and I will stand here in a place of honoring you, but in my heart I've drawn back because of my experience, and I'm not so sure you're for me anymore. So some of you were, what I was sensing is people who were disappointed with God, and so you withdrew emotionally from Him because you didn't want to be vulnerable. And some were actually angry with God. But the Lord wants to give you an opportunity for Him to show you a different perspective of what you're going through and to reiterate in your ears that He is for you and He will never leave you. And His purposes for you are for good and for life and for strengthening.
The Lord showed me two types of people. And one was, the type was that they were at peace with the Lord, that they were resting, they had security, and God was just naturally promoting them to a place of where they were supposed to be. And they had that peace, and there was no conflict within their spirits. And the other, I felt, was some that were striving very hard to get where they thought God wanted to be. And they were almost working up a sweat. And there was unrest. And there was no peace. And they just felt like they had to work to obtain it. And the Lord was just trying to tell me that there was just those that were at peace and waiting on the Lord, and those that were working too hard to get to where they thought the Lord wanted them to be.
During worship, I had a picture from the Lord as well. And in my picture, the Lord took a hose, a plain black hose, and I saw Him putting it to our heads. And then He began to suck through the hose like to form a siphon. And the other end of the hose He put to our hearts. And that the Lord was taking head knowledge, things that we had learned, foundational things that we had learned over the years, and transforming them into our hearts, so that we would have an understanding. And that once that occurred, we began to step out with a new confidence and a new understanding. And I saw us stepping on, with real ease, stepping on things that had been stumbling blocks in our lives for a long time, stepping on lies that the enemy has pitted towards us for a long time. It had empowered us, and the Lord said He was empowering us to stand in a place of victory.
We have the advantage of not being inexperienced people. And we have the disadvantage of being experienced people. Because we've spent so much of our time, just as normal human beings would, receiving input from the things around us, the sensory input of the systems of this world and our own responses to it, we're going through a process of transformation into understanding how to respond to the Spirit of wisdom and revelation. There are several things I want to bring to your attention before we go any farther. The first is this, that revelation does not come to inform us. It comes to transform us. Its purpose is to cause us to be something after the moment that we were not before the moment. We are, by definition, people of revelation. When the Spirit of truth comes, He will reveal things to you, even things to come. There are some elements of Scripture I plan to develop later this year, but I'll mention them just in seed thought in the moment. Most of you will be familiar with a passage from Romans that says, faith comes by, and hearing by the... Yes, I knew you were familiar with it. Maybe you're not familiar with this part. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the rhema of God. Not the Logos. The Logos is the written word. The Logos is Christ incarnate. But the rhema is that which God speaks in the moment. Faith comes by hearing what God is speaking in the moment, because when you know He's speaking to you, it releases faith in you. There's another passage in Luke that says, nothing is impossible with God. No thing is impossible with God. The no thing is this word, no rhema. No rhema is impossible with God. Do you understand? Doesn't matter what the rhema is, if God has spoken it, it is not impossible. Because there doesn't exist something He speaks that does not have the power to be fulfilled. Do you understand? So when we deal with the prophetic realm, we're talking about the things which God is speaking in the moment. And those things require a certain response on the part of those who have heard the word of the Lord. Do you understand? Not everyone is tuned to hear it. In Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, we are admonished to do several things. One is to tune our body by presenting it to the Lord. When I said to you earlier this morning, you know, I just sensed swirling around. What does that mean? It means after all these years of being in and out of the circumstances of God, my body is tuned to tell me when God's manifesting Himself. I'm not dull in that thing because my body's been trained by His presence. Now, when that happens, my spirit kind of goes, whoop, hey, that's the Lord. What's going on? God for you. That is, He wants to communicate something. Now, Susan gave us a testimony moments ago of a mental image of a siphon hose. I thought it was interesting the Lord would use a homemade siphon hose because that's how we used to transfer gasoline from one tank to another, both in our yard and outside our yard. Every saint has a past, every sinner has a future. I read that somewhere. And I can tell you what, swallowing a mouthful of gasoline is an experience you don't want to repeat. But the idea that the Lord would begin to bring into concert the things that are in your spirit with the things that are in your mind that are of Him. Now that's the spirit of wisdom and revelation. Do you understand? These things are not reasoned. These things are revealed. And so, when we talk about the difference between those who are sweating to be promoted, sweating to achieve, sweating to make it happen, and we contrast that with those who have come into a place of rest and the anointing, the results are phenomenally different, and the expenditure of energy is dramatically decreased. I can say this of a truth. For the last 7 years, approaching 7 years, I have done less and accomplished more than in all the decades before in my life. I am learning what it means to rest in the Lord and to have Him change the circumstances around me because He goes after the people who need to change. You know, it's quite a different thing for you to be persuaded by someone to do something and to be told by the Lord, this is my will for you. It's a totally different motivation for the things that you do. I want to submit to you that in this moment, for those of you who have ears to hear, now understand that ears to hear is not a function of what's attached to the side of your head. Ears to hear is the disposition of the willing spirit to the willing God, the Holy Spirit. He wills to speak and does speak. We have to will to hear. Now, if you happen to be in that place this morning where you have allowed the physical and natural circumstances of life to have reasoned you to a place that God's against you, God doesn't care about you, God should be doing something different, then I suggest to you, you're using the wrong process to reach a conclusion. You need to hear the word of the Lord for you this morning, that the spirit of wisdom and revelation can bring perspective on your circumstance. And while nothing in the circumstance may change, you will. And your response to it will be completely different. Your hope will be restored, and the sense of God's help and strength in the thing will rise. These are decisions we make. We have several words of knowledge for this congregation this morning from someone who's not here today. Now, that's a statement. Do you understand? God is now able to communicate outside the moment things he wants to do inside the moment from those who are willing to hear. So come share those with us, Susan. We're going to return to worship in a moment. I'm going to give you an opportunity to decide in the Lord if there's anything that's been spoken in these last moments to which you need to respond to him, because the testimony of his grace here this morning is evident.
The first picture this person had was they had a sense that there was someone in the church this morning that was struggling in their spiritual walk, and that they were exhibiting in their spirit an anger towards God. And the Lord would like to touch that person this morning. There's also something significant they felt.
One of the things we've got to get over is feeling like when God says something like that, we're being put on report, or that he's looking to make a spectacle out of you. If God says that one person is struggling, they have anger toward him, you can figure there's a dozen more. All right? He just uses that as the key to unlock the grace for all of you who may need that. So when it's the moment to respond, don't take that stuff home with you. How many of you know that that's just not wise? You know, it's just unwise when the Lord says to you, look, I know you're mad at me, but you don't understand the situation. Come, let's understand the situation.
No, I'm not going to do that.
Okay, then go home and be miserable. But know that it was your unwillingness to hear that keeps you in that prison. Don't do that. The door's open. Push on it. Walk out. Be free when the moment comes.
There was also something significant about the number 5. Might be a birthday, amount of money, something like that.
For whom does the number 5 have significance? That's not my lucky number. 5? Okay. 5? Okay. 5? Okay. 5? Okay. 5? Okay. 5? Okay.
There's another one over there.
5? Okay. Now, I would submit to you, grace is here because clearly God has got your number. Just no pleasing some people. Go ahead.
If there's someone here that's experiencing pain and trouble with their left shoulder.
Left shoulder? That's pretty specific. Who's got a messed up left shoulder? There's one. There's one. There's one. Plenty of grace to go around. God's got an eternity full of healings of left shoulders. Don't feel like you've got to defer to the other person because they raised their hand first. People think this way. Oh, their shoulder probably hurts more than mine. I'll let them go get it.
There's someone here who recently went to the doctor and was diagnosed with some sort of disease or health condition, and the Lord really wants to touch you this morning.
Who's that? All right. Who else? Don't you people get an annual physical? All right. Let's go ahead and stand. We're going to return to worship. And if this morning any of these particular admonitions have registered in your spirit, then it is our disposition that God wants to meet you on that issue and make a change for you. So I'm going to open up the altar as we worship. Eric, get your crowd. The prophets are called in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7. They're called the manifestation of the Holy Spirit. And the manifestation of the Holy Spirit comes to us in a wide variety of expressions, and it also comes in the the various ways God expresses His nature and character in the moment. I'd like to take a few minutes. Now, I wasn't planning this today, but that's the nice thing about being in a church that's risky. You don't have to plan the whole deal, because there's a God who knows what He's up to. And as long as we're willing to represent Him accurately, He's willing to keep on doing God stuff. Now, there's an admonition in the Scripture that says, encourage one another while it is still today. Question, is it still today? Well, let's take a few moments to encourage one another. You see, what happens is, when we get in moments like this, there are two things going on, three things going on. Someone's hearing from God and speaking it. Someone's receiving from God and sensing it. Others are watching and wondering what's going on. Okay? Now, if we're going to be encouraged, it is because there will be specific things that God says to which we specifically respond, and then He specifically does them. And that's pretty much, I would think, proof positive for me that God's in the place. Because it's unlikely that, in spite of some of the detractors out there, that I can actually hypnotize you and bring you to a place of false affirmation, psychologically induced. That would take more than I am. So what I want to do is this. I'm going to ask you to consider sharing with us something encouraging that the Lord did this morning. Now, it could be like this. It might be that you were standing up here praying for someone and God's compassion was released through you. Now, one of the interesting things about compassion versus sympathy is this. Sympathy and pity lock a person into their problem. Compassion releases hope that they will be extracted from their problem. When we operate in pity, we pray poorly. When we operate in compassion, we pray in faith. Because compassion is the thing that moves in the Lord's character. And it so happens that if you're the one standing there praying for someone, when His compassion moves through you, it leaves a residual in you that is yours from that day forward. It might be that you responded to a specific word of healing or a specific word of revelation, and now on the other side of that moment with the Lord, you're in a different place. So a testimony would sound like this. I had this need, God spoke this word, we prayed and God did this thing. It doesn't start with, okay, before I get to that, let me tell you what the Lord did back in 02. Because I'm not going to entertain your life history. We want to focus on what the Lord did in the context where there were witnesses who heard, saw, and need to hear the evidence. So if you're willing to share, just raise your hand and let's get started. We'll just popcorn this thing. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord and tell of His wondrous works. Psalm 107.
I've been sitting and dwelling on certain issues and have been talking about journaling and hearing from the Lord and wondering if the Lord would speak to me. And today I was sitting in here and I was one of those people not angry at God, but just curious as to why certain things were continuing to happen and asked the Lord to open my spiritual eyes, not the eyes that I see with, but that which is in me. And tell me what's going on. And I sat back and all of a sudden I started to have this flow of thought that I began to write down. The Lord shared a pretty intimate word with me that was revelation to me.
It's important to keep in mind that when someone tells you, my sheep hear my voice and they follow me, you don't let them leave out the middle phrase. My sheep hear my voice, I know them, and they follow me. He knows how to speak your language, and He will use your very favorite expressions in talking to you. But when He's through talking, you're sitting there looking at what you wrote thinking, I wish I was that smart. Who else? Coming your way, Ron. Got a lady right here.
I've just been asking the Lord to enlarge my heart so that I would always put people in front of things or my agenda. And I don't think I can tell you how he said that to me because it was his word to me, but he did that for me today to show me that the way I want my heart to be is the way it is when I'm in his presence, and that it's having his presence with us that allows us to be the way we want to be, the way like Christ is.
Amen, amen. Anytime the Lord speaks something to you that's real to you, it's a day of rejoicing.
I don't know if I'm going to be able to get this out, but when I was driving here this morning, the one thing that kept going through my mind over and over, that if I had the opportunity to tell this congregation, was that if you have any addictions that's keeping you from taking that one step closer to God, to do whatever it is you got to do to shake that addiction off so that you can become closer and develop your relationship with God. Mine, I'll confess mine, I'm a smoker. And if I could give anything at all to walk away from cigarettes, because I know that cigarettes are keeping me from taking that next step to God that I want to be with. But what touched me this morning was a saying came over me, a phrase just kept going through my mind over and over. And the more I said it, the more it hurt. Was what came to me was, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory, honor, and power. For thou created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. And I just kept going over and over in my mind.
Ron did not accurately communicate what he said, because what he was trying to say is deeper than his words can express. It's not what the Lord says, it's the impact and implication of what he says when you hear it. You've heard that scripture, you've sung that chorus, you give some credence to what it might mean. But when he speaks it in a moment like that, he's trying to communicate at a depth that words won't do. That's the spirit of revelation. We speak spiritual things with spiritual words, and they still come out inadequate. That's why people sit there looking at you going, because they didn't get it. But when the Lord speaks it to you, it has an impetus and a grace that's impacting, and it transforms you. What we end up seeing is the behavior modification. But it's not discipline, it's revelation, because you were transformed in a moment. I think that's precious, brother. Who else? We had 99 bottles of Saints on the wall.
I have three older sons that are often on my heart and cause a heaviness because though they were raised with the truth, they don't appear to walk in the truth. And I wouldn't say I'm angry at God, but I'm often frustrated and disappointed. And the number five kind of struck a chord because I have five sons altogether. And I felt like the Lord encouraged me and gave me a word that they were, the three oldest sons were, had a bond, and that bond would eventually be used for the Lord's purposes.
Was that an amen? Who else? Frank?
I tend to be an emotional person. As we were closing out the worship service, or the worship part here, the Lord let me understand in greater depth His holiness, His perfection. And the fact is that none of us here can do a single thing that's really good, and that we need to go to Him for His righteousness. We need to appropriate His righteousness, not our own.
I would call that the spirit of revelation.
All right, any of you prayers want to share something? Come ahead, Brian.
I had opportunity this morning in prayer with a young man to see the hand of the Lord very clearly through the years of his life up until today, and a little bit about what was coming next, and had a moment of grace to pray about that, but to enjoy that with the young man as an affirmation of what he knew the Lord was doing in his life. And for me, it was a real pleasure and a joy to be part of that kind of encouragement, because it's easy to make up something and say nice things about people. It's a whole lot better to be able to see things that the Lord points out. It's nice to be encouraged by the things you hear the Lord say. For whatever reason, we're blessed by the genuine truth that comes from God, because it touches who we really are. It's not the world as we would perhaps see it on any given day. But when we hear it, we know it's the Lord's hand on our lives genuinely. And pieces kind of fall into place in that kind of a context. So it was a joy for me to be able to pray with him.
Amen. That's one of the things. Jerry, can I ask you? Yes, I can. Watch me. Jerry, let me ask you, can you communicate to us from a prayer's perspective some of the things that were happening for you as a representative of the Lord this morning?
It's interesting when you stand with another believer before the Lord, and you say, Lord, we've got a need this morning. And the Lord says, do you have any idea how much care I put into this whole creation for you in particular? Can you even imagine what it took? I mean, we have scientists now with telescopes that are looking for other worlds, you know, so that we can go when we mess up this planet. There is nothing. There is nothing like what we have right here. I mean, we are unique in creation. And the Lord did this just for us. And chapter 2 is going to be something glorious that we can't even imagine. The Lord hasn't opened that up in our revelation yet to know how glorious that is going to be. But we're still in chapter 1. And we're in chapter 1 because He's trying to perfect our characters to the image of Christ. And that's where we are now. And we think that that chapter 1 is the whole book. And chapter 1 is not the whole book. You know, I'm not going to be short in chapter 2. Not that there's anything wrong with that. But the Lord, yeah, the Lord just knows your spirit, you know, and is perfecting you in chapter 1. And so we come to the Lord and we say, Lord, chapter 1 is so hard. You know, I've got all this going on. I just say rejoice in that. Count it all joy. You know, because chapter 2 is going to be glorious. But you got to walk through the whole of chapter 1. It's not easy. It's not easy in chapter 1. Right? But let me tell you, the Lord says chapter 2 is going to be great. You're a king and a priest, according to the Lord. And so I feel that when I stand up here to represent Him, and people come up and they say, you know, I just need to get close to the Lord. I got this, I got this, I got that. I count it all joy. You know, because that tells me that He's touched you in a way that, you know, sparks something to say, are you still there? you know, ding, Noah, that thing. Are you still there? Yes, he's still there. He is a touch away. He is a prayer away. His care for you is unbelievable. He's watching everything that you do. He's got only your best in his intention for you. And so I consider it a great privilege to pray for you when you come up. Because when I pray for you, the Lord gets all over me. You know, I kind of feel guilty because I think I get more out of it than you do. Because the Lord allows me sometimes to see his love for you. And it feels good.
I need to stand.
Yes, you need to stand.
I was going to say, one of the neat things that I notice about praying for people is that it can be somebody I don't even know. And I find myself standing there feeling a tremendous amount of love for that person. And often I'll feel proud of that person. I won't know anything about them, what they've done in their life, what they haven't done. But I'll have this sense of, I'm so proud of you. I love you so much. And I think that's really not Susan. That's the Spirit of God relating to that person that's within me.
Both of you, come on up here, would you please? Let's kind of move this along. And if there are others of you, please, feel free to come share.
Part of me wants to encourage you. With having Catherine, when you have a baby, your life kind of goes on hold. And so for a long time, I wasn't able to come up and minister or even be as involved as I was. And so I was backing up a lot. And then there was at one point where I really feel like I was attacked, or I felt like the enemy was saying, why do you even think you can come up and minister? You haven't been up here for so long. And it was a real battle. And several, I don't know how long ago, maybe 2 months ago or whatever, I said I wasn't going to entertain those thoughts. And I prayed over a young man, and the Lord was so gracious in me stepping forth, because he revealed things that were so private in his life that I naturally would not have known it. And I didn't even know this young man's name. I don't think I had ever seen him before. But it showed me how the Lord uses us. So if those of you who have not stepped forth in a long time, God is so faithful. And I encourage you, because what happens when I come up here is, to me, it's an affirming of what the body of Christ is all about. We're here to build each other up. I am just being used by the Lord, and I know that it's nothing of me. And the Lord shows up. And then if I can bless you, you're also blessing me. And to me, that's the way the body works. And so it's just a confirmation that we're working together.
Thank you. As I was praying this morning, for those of you who go to the beach or who like the sun or the warm weather, you know, when the sun comes down and there's that feeling of warmth, well, as I prayed with each person this morning, I could feel God, I could actually see it, sending this warmth to each person. To let them know that he loves them, and that this warmth was a feeling to give them, to make them feel at peace. And it was just so specific that I just had to mention it. So it just...
I really enjoy the way the Lord does God. I just really enjoy it. I appreciate so much the commitment he has to diversity and variety. I appreciate the just the seamlessness with which he can move from one person's life to another, almost as if he knows everything. And it is such an affirming thing personally
to be the instrument through which the Lord speaks words of encouragement or delivers an act of healing. Because it puts you in a very living sense in direct connection with eternity, and you watch time and space be altered by that connection. Now, I let these folks share because I want all of us to understand that once upon a time, every one of these people were lost. They were on their way to hell. But God's redemption included standing them up in His presence for the benefit of representing Him in time and space to whosoever will come forward. And that line of those who can stand there and present themselves to the Lord as His instrument is endless. There's not a single one of you who doesn't have the capacity to represent Jesus and the person of God the Holy Spirit moving, speaking, and healing through you. Not a single one of you. And if you let your brain hold you back, then your brain is your enemy. Remove it. Oh, that's right. You already did. 90% of it's gone, as I recall. There should be no impediment to any of you who know the Lord standing up and allowing Him to present Himself to someone else in a fashion that's deeply personal, sometimes almost intimate in the compelling sense of His love and compassion that overtakes you as you represent Him. I just want to exhort you to not sell yourself short of the things of the Lord. When He made you His son, it was for the express purpose that you would join Him in the family business, and that it's His intention to grant to you ever-increasing understanding of who He is, what He desires, and how He wishes to release a particular portion of Himself in a very express way through the uniqueness of you. All of us have that opportunity. There's another benefit in standing in a moment like that, whether it's, you know, the high-risk aisles of Kmart or the low-risk altar of Prague. It's all the same God. He's completely unimpressed with either environment. He is what He is all the time. But one of the benefits is you begin to understand what it means to not know one another after the flesh any longer. When you stand there in front of some person you know or don't know, and you're overtaken by the radiant sense of God's pride in who that person is, you see them differently. When you're standing there and the secrets of their hearts are exposed, and God uses you as the anointed moment in time where the yoke in their life is broken, you see them differently from that moment forward. And there's an occasion to rejoice in the Lord in both situations. God never comes to expose. He comes to disclose Himself more fully in that life. And we who are willing are able to represent Him in that fashion. One of the things that I take personal joy in is when I'm in a ministry situation and I can get a hold of people who have never prayed for anyone ever and show them in the anointing that God will use them too. It changes them forever. And for me, it's just pure OD fun to help people connect with the living God in a tangible way so that someone else is encouraged. I trust that there will continue to be a genuine restlessness in your spirit for the things of the Lord, that you will not settle for a dumb sheep, smart pastor kind of church mentality, but that you will only settle for the legions of the sons of God representing their Father's business in time and space wherever they go. And it's my sincere desire and hope to continue to make installments in your understanding on that theme throughout this calendar year. Clearly, we did show and tell today. We'll have explanation on some other occasion. But I will introduce you to this thought. Next week, we're going to have another encounter with God. Now, I have this disposition about these gatherings, all of our gatherings. It should be an occasion where the Lord is in some fashion present. It should be an occasion where the Spirit of wisdom and revelation has the opportunity to manifest himself. Now, I would say to you that at some level that occurred today. Would you agree? God showed up. God spoke things. People repeated them. Others were blessed. Some lives were changed. Some folks were healed. That's a good day at church. But there's also the requirement to take the Word of God and put it in place in such a fashion that it actually helps our understanding of what's going on around us. Have any of you ever heard the phrase fire chasers when associated with Christians? It's a class of person who lives from hot meeting to the next hot meeting and whoever the hot speaker is. Can I say that like that and be okay? You know, they chase after whatever the next phenomenon of God is. Now, I'm not indicting those folks. They exist, okay? I have a lot of experience with them. I don't find them particularly stable, nor do I find them increasing in maturity over time, okay? Now, they exist. God loves them. Some of us have been part of that. I'm not opposed to going to meetings, hearing anointed speakers, watching phenomenon of God. I give myself to that as well. But there's a very strong difference in the way I approach those things and the way others approach them. And the difference is this. Those things are to be experienced for the purpose of transformation, not simply to tell a story. Boy, we were in Baltimore the other night, and I'm telling you what. Okay, great. That's good. What else was going on? In Luke, there is a story that most of you would recognize. It's called the Feeding of the 5,000. In fact, some Bibles erroneously place, just before that text, Jesus feeds the 5,000. How many of you have ever read that story or are familiar with it? Okay, I want to point some things out to you. We'll develop this later on, sometime this year, because I actually have path we're taking to get to a destination. But I want you to consider this with me. Jesus says to the disciples, you feed them. Okay? He said this, testing them, knowing what he was going to do. What was his intention? That they feed them. And they said, well, where are we going to get enough money to buy bread? And where are we going to find a place to buy the bread? And what if they don't have enough bread? And Jesus said, well, how much have you got? And you know, so they took the few loaves, the few fishes. And what did Jesus do? Think about this now. He said, you feed them. He set them down in groups of 50. Then he prayed. Did Jesus feed them? The answer is no. He did not feed them. It was not his intention to feed them. He gave portions to the disciples and told them to go do what he said to do, which was what? You feed them. Now, here you've got your little piece of fish, your little piece of bread, and your 50 people. How many of you can do that math? In the natural, there's no way that's going to happen. So you break off a piece of the fish, you give it to this guy, the piece of the bread, you give it to that guy, you look, and you still got it. In fact, it looks a little bigger. And so you go to the number 2 of 50. You do the same thing, and you still got it. You go to number 3, number 37. You get to the end of the whole 5,000 and you got 12 baskets of scraps left over. The people eat. Jesus dismisses the crowd. He tells the disciples, get into the boat. He goes up on the mountaintop to pray. Scripture says that the wind and waves were against them. And in the night, Jesus came walking on the water intending to pass them by. They were in the storm because he told them to get in the boat. He was on his way to the other side, intending to pass them by. They cried out, it's a ghost. He goes over and says, guys, the storm is over. And then it says, because they did not understand the miracle of the bread. Now, what is that verse doing in that location when we're in a totally different scenario? Why would the Scripture say, way too late, that they didn't understand the miracle of the bread? Put your glasses on, look in the book of Luke, where it erroneously says Jesus feeds the 5,000. Here's the deal. This is what will separate you from the fire chasers. It is the Lord's intent that every supernatural encounter with Him supply nutrients to your spirit in such a fashion you are prepared for the next supernatural moment. Who was supposed to have calmed the wind and the wave? They were. But why didn't they? Because they did not understand the miracle of the bread. What was the miracle? The miracle wasn't that Jesus prayed or administrated the crowd. The miracle was it multiplied in their hands. He was communicating to them that the anointing to change the natural circumstances was in their hands. And so when it came to that moment, they failed the test, but they had a great story. A chapter or two later, he says, don't you remember when we fed the 5,000? Oh, yeah, yeah. And the 4,000? Oh, yeah, yeah. And in the boat, they're saying, oh, it's because we have no bread. He says, look, if I want bread, we'll make bread like that. See, they didn't get it. Whenever you walk through a moment like we've walked through today, there should be something more than moist Kleenex at the conclusion of the event. You should be able to go through that scenario and find out what it was God was trying to communicate to you. Now, it was obvious for Roy and for Frank and for Jerry. It was obvious for them, right? You heard it. They're walking away with an understanding that's different. But what about for KDB? KDB responds to the deal, somebody's left shoulder. Tim has confirmed for me she was prayed for, the pain is gone. Okay, I had a left shoulder problem and the pain is gone. Now, what else is there in that experience? Help me out here. What else is in there? Say again. God's faithfulness to provide healing. What else? This is not hard. This, you know, think out loud. Yes, ma'am. I'm sorry? He hears us. What else? He what? He loves us. He demonstrated it. I trust in Him. What else? That when what? When we call upon His name, He will perform His stuff right there with us. See, there's a lot to take from each one of these things because they're designed to move you forward in your faith. We're to move from faith to faith, not experience to experience. But the experience is designed to provoke something about our faith. Listen, if we are people of revelation and He comes and does these things, He's trying to reveal something to us. And until we catch on to that, all we're going to have is some great stories. But we'll be the same old person telling the story. You follow me? I would submit this to you. How many of you, I'll ask you this question, then we'll submit. Are we taking an offering here? Will somebody lay on the floor that needs their 35 cents back? Odd. I'm sorry? I'm not in the offering taking business. Thank you. We'll give you a moment in a minute. How many of you have some supernatural encounters with Jesus already under your belt? Okay. Let me ask you to do this. Let me ask you to revisit those and ask the Lord, what was it you wanted me to know? Just spend the next month sitting there going, remember that time, Lord? What did I miss? And then start scribing. And I would submit to you, when you get together with your small group, there will be plenty of people who have something to teach. Every one of you will have an insight. Some of you will turn it into a psalm or a hymn. Just give yourself to what God's already done for you and just see what you might have missed that'll make you go, whoa. Do you think there's a whoa left in you? Absolutely. Michael, I have delayed you long enough. Would you come and share communion with us?
They are new every morning. Great is His faithfulness. And that starts in like verse 22. And all the previous 21 verses or so, the author was lamenting, hence the name, was lamenting his dire circumstances. And here's an encouragement from 1 Peter. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In His great mercy, He has given us new birth in a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you, who through the faith are shielded by God's power. Yeah, that's a pretty good promise. That's an awesome promise. So that through this life, we're going to have some trouble. In fact, the next verse says, for a little while, you will have to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. But the promise is that God is there. And in that, there's also an encouragement. What we're about to engage in here is communion, the event, the noun, communion. And we do that on Sundays. And yet, there's a different type of a communion. Communion, the verb, to commune, where we can have communion with God every day. And I'll paraphrase a definition of communion, the verb, an intimate and confidential sharing of thoughts. And so the encouragement is this, that as we rejoice in that new birth of a living hope, in the inheritance that can never perish, as we're shielded by God's power through our faith, that you commune with Him throughout the week and enjoy that presence, that fellowship, because that's what will arm you for the grief of all kinds of trials that we can expect to have. So I invite you to come forward. If you are if you have declared Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you are welcome at this table. For those of you here in the center, down the center aisle. For those of you in the alcoves, down the sides. So we invite you to come. And take your elements back with you, and we'll take it together as a family. Morning.
while we celebrate the night. And when I stumble in the darkness, oh, I will call your name by night. God wonders beyond our galaxy. You are holy, holy. The universe declares your majesty. You are holy, holy. Lord of heaven and earth.
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 Hallelujah to the Lord of heaven.
Please pass your cups to the center aisle, and someone will be by to relieve you of them presently.
As they're doing that, I want to bring a couple of things to your attention. Most of you will recognize the name Sam Solon. Others of you who don't recognize it, there's a little presentation here, and I don't see the website, but www.solon.org. We'll get you to his material. Sam has become a real good friend to this congregation, to me personally. And he's going to be with us second weekend in April. Yeah. And I'd like to encourage you to make plans to be in those gatherings. I don't know what Sam's going to teach, but I know this, it's going to be worth hearing. And the other thing is the, is pot blessing actually a word? I didn't think so. But anyhow, one of the decisions that we made this year was to be very proactive in reconnecting with the Lord and with one another. And I'd like to, in this moment, express my personal thanks for the many who have helped host this deal, those who have made food preparation on a weekly basis, for those of you who have supported the youngsters and their different deals as they're raising funds for missions trips or missionettes or whatever it is they're doing. But the most valuable part is what I see happening among us as we sit around those tables laughing and eating together. I have asked that on every monthly occasion where we set aside a Sunday gathering for an encounter with God. This one was spontaneous today. I'll teach you on Melchizedek soon. But I've asked that we would have a full-blown meal because I intend that we would have a catharsis collectively, that there would be an event with the Lord that sort of put us in that non-hostile, walls-down opportunity to connect with one another frame of mind, and then a meal to share together in that. And you've been very faithful in bringing your good stuff. I appreciate you leaving your... I have a question. And it's, I guess I'll ask the husbands because they'd probably be the ones that would know. Are you married to one of those women that she decides, in spite of all the wonderful things you know that are absolutely wonderful, she decides that when guests are coming over, she wants to try a new recipe? How many of you have married one of those? Just three of us? Four of us. Okay, thank you. Oh, I see. You're afraid to acknowledge it publicly. All right. Let me repent of having asked the husbands. Let me ask real men. How many of you married one of those? You coward. I saw that. He raised his hand until she looked at him. One of those, you know, I like so many other husbands have learned through the years to get the last word. Yes, dear. I appreciate that courageous spirit, but I really do thank you for bringing your winners on Sunday. Well, it's been a good day together. I hope you appreciate that. Anytime Father shows up to minister to his children and to encourage us in the process, it's a good, good, good day. We're going to dismiss to the reception downstairs, and let me ask you to stand. If there's unfinished business, you want to begin a relationship with the Lord, you want prayer for healing, anything that's on your heart that did not get addressed specifically, I invite you to come forward. The altar will be open. Those of you who can linger, we invite you to join us downstairs for whatever is prepared to